In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is in our midst. Again, we hear a familiar passage this week from the sixth Sunday of Matthew about the healing of the paralytic. And we've heard the passage from Mark during our liturgical year. And in other instances, we hear about and have heard about the healing of individuals who were paralyzed. And in this instance, our Lord lifts up not just the physical healing of this man and the miracle that occurred and took place and the faith of the people that were around him and were there at this event, but a much deeper meaning and a much more essential, and even though many would not recognize this, important healing, and that is of the soul. There are many people who are paralyzed, of course, around us in the world today. Some are paralyzed because of an accident. Some are paralyzed because of some physical event, a stroke or some neurological injury. But in any case, it's a devastating occurrence that has happened to an individual, to a person. And it inhibits or prohibits, in some cases, freedom of movement. And it makes it really a challenge to enjoy a full life. Not that it's impossible to do so, but it makes it that much more difficult for people. But there's a much greater number of people, of humans, that are paralyzed in other ways. Paralyzed by poverty, paralyzed by an event, or by a circumstance, or by the way they're treated, and paralyzed by fear. And being paralyzed by fear, the inability to take action, the inability to act based upon fear, is something that is pervasive in our society, in our world, especially today, with so much that we are faced with, and so much sickness, so much health concerns that exist in the world today. There's treatment for all sorts of these illnesses that help for people to overcome these things. But yet, there is a much deeper need. And I would say in most instances, people do not realize this much deeper need that they have to overcome this paralysis, this fear in their life. First John, we hear from his epistle, perfect love casts out all fear. For one who's paralyzed by fear, it is healed by the love of God. It is not healed by any medicine or any human words. Ultimately and completely, it's healed by the divine love, by God's love. And it's given to us, and it is indeed manifested through others, through the sacraments, through worship, through prayer, but through others, those who are around us, who express and wrap their arms around us with the love of Christ. It's this love, perfect love, that casts out all fear and cures those who are paralyzed by it. So when one is paralyzed by hopelessness or sadness or doubt or fear, even fear of death, this is ultimately what oftentimes leads to even a physical condition. Even the devout or committed Christian, one who devotes their life on a daily basis, while they may be sad, while they may grieve, as Paul says, they don't do so without hope. There's never the despondency that accompanies this sense of sadness or the feeling of hopelessness. Because even through the difficulties in life, even when faced with the death of a loved one or even our own mortality, when we submit our lives, when we surrender to the will of God, we are shown some form of healing and reassurance that can only come from the Creator, from the giver of life, from God Himself. We can achieve all sorts of things in life. And I would say that most of us have, in some form or fashion, in our lives. And yet, we can still feel incomplete or unsure or struggle with fear. But yet, as the scriptures tell us, as the fathers of the church remind us, and as we hear in the hymns and in the prayers of our church, when we surrender our lives, when we give up what we think is freedom for true freedom, and that is offering the sacrifice of our lives to Jesus Christ, when we do so, then we can use our heart and our soul and even our body as His instrument. And this is when we are able to help others. This is when we are able to be the beacon, as we spoke about a few weeks ago, of the divine love. Our Lord favors, as we hear in the scriptures, those who take care of and comfort those who are physically ill and also spiritually ill, who are lonely and who are despondent. And without Jesus Christ, and this is what the gospel reveals to us today, without Christ, one who is truly paralyzed, because as this is emptied in one's life, so does any sense of hope or heaven or salvation. But with Christ, on the other hand, there is no need to ever feel despondent or hopeless. So our Lord heals this man who was a paralytic, paralyzed not only in his body, but his spirit. And the first thing that our Lord says isn't, "You are healed in your body. Take heart, my son," He says, "your sins are forgiven." Because what good is a healthy body without a healthy soul? What good is a healthy body if it holds an unhealthy or wounded spirit? Our Lord knew that this man was paralyzed. It was obvious when He saw him. But before He restored this man's body to health, He healed his wounded spirit. And then we hear at the end of this gospel that those who witnessed this, after those who were doubters accused him of blasphemy, but those who witnessed the miracle were overcome with fear, but they still praised God. They were still joyful, as we hear, that it had come at the hands of the one who was the creator of all good things, the creator of life, Jesus Christ Himself. In the epistle that we heard today from Romans, God, through Paul, speaks about another aspect of our human existence, and that is the gifts that He has given us. We have the beauty of God's creation all around us, in the sun, in the stars, in the moon, in the mountains, in the grass, in the trees. Everywhere around us, we witness, we experience the glory of God and His beautiful creation. But even more importantly, we do so in the people that are around us, the people that are sitting right next to us today, the people that we will come in contact with, not just today, but all the days of our lives, whoever they are, wherever they are. This is indeed the beauty of God's creation. And He speaks about the gift of God's human creation in marvelous terms when He speaks about the gifts that differ. We have gifts, all of us, that differ according to the grace given to us. Each and every one of us has a gift. All of us have a gift. And this is what Paul is saying today. It's not something that we have acquired. It's something that the charismata, by the grace of God, we have been created with, because indeed we are created in His image and in His likeness. And these gifts that Paul mentions are prophecy, ministry, teaching, exhortation, generosity, leadership, diligence, compassion, and cheerfulness. And even though these are many, it's not complete. There are so many more gifts that God has given in the beauty of His creation. The fact that each one of us has a gift or a combination of gifts, there are many others, of course, but it's one of the pretexts that Paul uses to make a point earlier in this chapter, because he tells us, in fact, he implores us to present ourselves, to present our bodies as a living, holy sacrifice to God. In the church, the body of Christ, so that we may be of mutual benefit to one another. Again, sharing the divine love with each and every one of us, each and every one whom we come in contact with. Paul says, "For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another." And he says again, "Do not think of yourself as more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith." So as we offer these gifts that God has given us for our mutual building up of the church, of the body of Christ, and in this world, whether it be by prophecy, by sharing God's message, by ministry, by serving, diakonia, by serving, by teaching, imparting of knowledge, by exhortation, either supplication or intercession or praying for one another, through generosity, through leadership, through diligence, through compassion, through cheerfulness, through a kind word, through welcoming, through sharing the love of Christ. As we offer these up, we should not offer these up in the mindset that the world would say, but we should offer them up in the mindset that has been given to us, that has been revealed to us in the direct experience of Jesus Christ within the life of the church. St. Paul says it in the passage preceding this today. He says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God." So these are the exhortations of Paul, and this is what our Lord reveals to us in this miracle of healing the paralytic. May our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the healer of our souls and our bodies, may our Lord grant us healing, not just physically, but more importantly and more eternally, spiritually, in our souls, so that we may be beacons of His love for others, and they too may know the healing power of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.